Okay.
If we're all here, we'll bring the meeting to order at 1:38. Says here, Pledge of Allegiance. If you would. Salute pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we'll open the meeting to public comment.
I have a few items and I'll take them really quickly.
Okay.
The first being our phase one closure plan. Received approval from both CalRecycle and the Water Board. So essentially, as soon as we receive our last bit of waste, other than going out to bid, we're ready to go. We have all the necessary items in place from the regulatory authorities. So we're in a good space. And I would have put that on the agenda, but I just got the notice on May 13th.
We have an actual measurement to full and we're right there?
We're not there yet.
So, oh, yeah, okay, no.
Yeah, so we'll receive our last bit of waste somewhere in the end of 2016 calendar year.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So we have a bit of space left. What we're doing right now is we're sliver filling. So we're just filling every little pocket that's remaining in the landfill in phase one. And so we'll receive our final deposit of waste and our final height. If you look at the uppermost peak at the phase one landfill right now, that's the final height. Other than the closure cap. But that's the final waste height. So we'll just basically finish off that top deck, and then there's some side slopes that we have some remaining airspace in that we'll be filling in before we close the landfill completely.
And I know you told me during our tour, what's the final cap height?
Ooh, I don't have that in front of me. I believe it's... brought that with me. I want to say it's 565 feet above sea level, but I can provide that as an email.
Okay.
So 200 foot tall mountain, then basically.
Mm-hmm. So you can expect that we'll the bid documents to be created in 2016, and we'll issue the bids in 2016 and begin the closure process. In 2017. So, and then I also want to make sure that you're aware of, if we receive our last bit of waste in the winter months, we will not start closure immediately because we can't close the landfill during precipitation events. We have 180 days to close the landfill unless there's some sort of reason why we can't start within 180 days. Precipitation winter is a very viable reason to not start the closure process. So if we receive our last bit of waste in December of 2016, you can expect that we won't begin the closure process until the summer of 2017. Does that make sense?
Is there a moisture content that it has to be in order to close it?
Yes, to get slope stability, yes. But for the whole process to revegetate, to even have the heavy equipment operating and doing the closure process, we can't do it in the mud and the muck. It's just not possible.
And that's what I say, if we had a really heavy winter and it rained, like, you know, it's going to, when we are not ready for it, it's going to take all summer to dry out probably. Is that what you're thinking?
It could delay it. So we'd probably start the closure process, you know, more towards the middle of the summer rather than the beginning of the summer. Typically, you want to start the closure process right at the beginning of the summer so you have the whole summer length to finish the project. But if we have late rains, that could delay it. Let's see. And then I plan to present a presentation of the whole closure process. It likely won't be at our June 15th meeting because that agenda is actually pretty heavy on agenda items. It'll likely be at the October full board meeting. And then the Water Board approved the phase two cell construction, and the bid was awarded to Anderson Dragline, and cell construction actually began on Monday. And Anderson Dragline has 96 days to complete the project. And the CQA meetings are held every Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. So I'll be in those meetings every Tuesday to monitor the project. The CQA for the project is RMC Geosciences. And then engineer of record is Lawrence and Associates. The bids did come in a bit higher than the engineer's estimate, 7.6% higher. So it's a $1.6 million project.
Sure, we get to the construction projects when business is picking up.
Businesses start to pick up, yeah. So, and then I'm also evaluating Waste Connection's proposal to for Lawrence and Associates to analyze best management practices to comply with the new industrial general permit from the Water Board. There will be a change in law request from the Water Board, or not from the Water Board, from Waste Connections based on having to comply with this new law. So right now what we're looking at is what's the most cost-effective way to comply with the law. And that's all I have.
Christina, where are we on the mandatory recycling on organics? Is that statewide?
We passed a resolution so that we don't have to comply with that new law. But once the population of the county reaches 70,000 people, we will have to comply. Or in 2020, they're going to reevaluate whether they want to lower the population. So we should be looking at an organics recycling program. And I haven't announced it, but CalRecycle did create a rural grant for organics programs for up to $2 million. But the project has to be shovel-ready, meaning that a large portion of the permitting process, like most of the design work, the program has to be almost ready to go to be able to receive the funding. But I would recommend that this board start looking at how it's going to comply, because before we know it, the county could be at 70,000.
Are you going to ESJPA tomorrow?
Yes.
And now that's all on site? A facility that's all on site for?
It could be. So what I would recommend that the board do is a feasibility study to see what's possible. We do have the land available on site to have an anaerobic digestion or a composting facility. Anaerobic digestion facilities tend to be a little bit easier to permit because there's not as many odor issues. But a feasibility study would look at, based on our organics waste stream, what's the best type of organics management program, whether it's composting.
Are we plumbed for natural gas out there or not?
No.
What's the quickest turnover of materials, the composting or the anaerobic digestion?
They're about equivalent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're actively managing a composting pile, you can turn it in 90 days.
Now, I'm assuming that there are several different models out there for either type.
Yes, the problem is most of them are large scale. Monterey did a small scale project that would be the closest to what we would be looking at, but we would be even considerably smaller than Monterey. They did a project, just a pilot project that represented a small portion of their population, and it would have to be basically downscaled to fit our entire population.
Wow. How large of a facility do we kind of need, and how much manpower?
Yeah, typically you need at least 10,000 tons of organics to make organics program, at least an anaerobic digestion facility work.
But the footprint's not very big.
No, okay. For an AD
Christina
facility,
and I
no.
That one in Sacramento, and that's a big facility, which wasn't very big.
No, yeah.
And how much manpower is needed and administrative too?
It depends what type of technology is implemented. So an anaerobic digestion facility doesn't take much manpower, actually. And the reason I focus on anaerobic digestion is likely that would be the technology that would make the most sense for us.
Yeah, unless we're plumbed for natural gas.
Or the composting rigs get considerably easier to comply with.
The one in Sacramento is you know, they make the gas out of the digester.
Oh yeah.
But even then they don't have enough gas to
to fuel their rigs all the time, so they're plumbed for natural gas, so when they don't have the methane or whatever the heck it has, methane, mm-hmm. they fill up with natural gas to keep the trucks running. So.
Yeah, and if you don't have, I would guess, if you don't have enough that you're creating, it's hard to find a use for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you do with it?
Yeah, yeah.
Burn it through the stack of the other.
Yeah. In India's a, I'd say probably about 80% methane gas in the household and natural gas, so it's huge out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for any other public comment?
Yep.
Everybody out the door. All right, we'll go to regular items. First will be the approval of minutes.
You were the only one that was here. They look good to you?
I guess I Yeah, Saran wasn't here, and you weren't here.
You were the only
we
one.
We have a new executive committee. So.
Yeah, they look good to me. I'll make a motion.
I'll second as to form.
Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Sorry, who seconded it?
Bob Williams.
All right. The warrant register. Anybody look at that?
Yeah.
Besides me?
I only have one question. The PC repair, the 1,000 and whatever it was.
Rachel's hard drive crashed. And it was so problematic to fix that even with a discount from Computer Logistics, that was the charge. And then it took...
A whole lot of money.
I know.
That's buying a computer for
that. I know. And that was my complaint afterwards with it. And that's one of the reasons why I feel that we need somebody in-house that has the knowledge base. They were going around and around. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with our computer. They had to take it back up to their shop in Reading.
Is Computer Logics, do we have some sort of a contract with them that mm-hmm. something happens?
They used to be the provider for the city, and they're mm-hmm. no longer are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the county uses Apex, mm-hmm. Computer Logistics, and West Coast, right?
Mm-hmm. And about those just necessary things as a backup, just kind of keep a few people and say, it's almost like a plumber electrical thing, you always want to keep your card just in case some emergency comes up, who's going to be the best provider for
mm-hmm.
you. So keep a list of, annually maybe just kind of update and say, are these prices still right? And maybe shop a couple other places. So if something comes up, then
yeah, and we can definitely look at getting other providers.
That was the one that just jumped out to me. Cause,
that was my complaint.
I understand you take something in for repair, and they don't necessarily give you an estimate of, ironclad estimate of repairs as needed, and then you get the bill, and your heart skips three beats.
Yes, twice as much as what it would cost for a new one.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only to replace the hard drive, but they have to put everything back on the hard drive once it's replaced.
Now, are you back up to the cloud?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to do any extraction of data from the computer necessarily?
No. Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that costs
money. Everything's backed up.
If they have to
just
actually go in there and extract pieces here and there, then mm-hmm. then it might be. But if they didn't have to, then
yeah, it's all backed up to the cloud every 2 days. So that's how our process.
Which is a $48 a month charge, I guess.
Backup, yeah.
I had no other questions. If nobody else has got any questions, mm-hmm. I'll move to approve.
Motion and second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Okay. For the second scale construction.
Okay, so I'll give you two. So the more detailed map is for old scale proposal. And if there's printing on the backside, it's not for this project, it's newspaper.
You said the detailed one is the old?
The more detailed one is the old plan. So as part of the 2014 landfill and MRF operations agreement, Waste Connections is required to construct and place in operation a second scale at the facility by August 1st, 2015. So the original proposed design for the scale is the more detailed drawing that you have before you. There was a lot of concerns about this design and whether it would actually create more efficiency or create more bottlenecks. I can walk you through the design and what was planned initially. Initially, it was planned not to replace the scale house, but to remodel it, to put windows on the front side of the scale, all around the sides, and then put both have the inbound scale stay as it where it is located currently, and have the impound bypass lane in between the scale house and the inbound scale would be the inbound bypass lane. And then the outbound scale would be on the other side of the scale house, and then on the outside would be the outbound bypass lane. There's constraints in space because of a retaining wall on the east side that makes it very, very tight for that outbound bypass lane. And then also, if you're familiar with the site, as you leave the MRF, so the material recycling facility, once you go up that hill, there's a tight corner you have to turn before you get onto the scale. And so there was a lot of concern that if vehicles didn't line up right correctly to get on the outbound scale, they would block the bypass lane for the outbound traffic, and so garbage trucks would then have to wait to exit, which currently they don't have to wait to exit.
Well, unless there's people on the outbound, on a single scale, blocking the way. I've been there several times when that's the case also.
Yeah, well, the garbage trucks don't have to reweigh. So if there's a block at just from traffic waiting, yes, you're right. But it's not as common, I guess I would say, for the garbage trucks today that they're blocked. With this proposal, as it was stated, it would most likely they would be blocked all the time because there would be constant traffic blocking that side of the operations of the facility. So we measured it because there was also an issue with whether there was enough space for the garbage trucks to even use the outbound bypass lane. And it was extremely tight because you look at the garbage trucks, they're 8 feet wide, and then you take their mirrors and that brings them out to 10 feet wide. And it was extremely tight on the north end of the outbound bypass lane where they'd actually have to veer onto the scale to be able to exit. In most instances. And so Waste Connections, those problems, and in addition to the fact that the bids came in much higher than they expected for this proposal, they relooked at things and found that it would be cheaper to actually replace the existing scale house and then have more space because they could move over where the scale house is right now, move it over to the west so it's closer to the inbound scale, and put an outbound scale, and then have one inbound and outbound bypass lane. I'm much happier with the newer proposal, primarily because there's not many vehicles that use the inbound bypass lane, and I've always had a problem with people when they are using the inbound lane, or the inbound bypass lane.
I didn't even know there was one.
Because people don't use it. It's the small amount of space between the scale house and the scale.
Really?
That's technically the inbound bypass lane. And so right now, as it currently is, when people use it, if there's somebody waiting to pay, it's very intimidating because you're standing there at the scale house paying, and there's somebody driving, like literally within inches of you, trying to pay. And so
Men did that to me once, even though they climbed out of the
road. There's just a fear of, like...
I thought it was going fast enough, you wouldn't recognize it.
So I wasn't crazy about the inbound bypass lane staying where it was to begin with. So I'm much happier with this proposal. I hope that along with lane markers telling people where to line up, I hope that it's smooth waste connections, and I've talked about it on numerous occasions that there may be some learning curve that they may have to put lane markers. They may have to work with things a bit to make sure that it increases efficiency and safety on the site.
Well, your outbound traffic will move a lot quicker, though,
yes,
too. So
yeah.
Shouldn't have those big lines. One in, one out.
I'm a little confused on the configuration of the new proposal. You're gonna push the scale house all the way to the eastern bank.
It's real faint on there, Rob. If you really look, you can see it. It's real faint lines on there.
Oh, the scale house is gonna move all the way to the west?
Yes, all the way to the west. So here's the scale.
On the slab, new concrete slab.
So here you can see right here. Yep. This is where the old, so these are where the bollards are, and there's the raised platform. So this is where the old scale house is, or the existing scale house is. So they're going to move the scale house over here, where the existing inbound bypass lane is, to make extra space so that they can have an effective outbound scale and very wide inbound and outbound bypass lane.
And that the bypass lane then here all the way to the east will be inbound and outbound.
Okay.
Okay.
And the reason that makes sense is that the only people that use the inbound and the outbound bypass lane are employees and contractors. And so they're coming in, they either know the facility or they're coming in before operations start or leaving after operations close. So it makes a lot more sense just to have one lane with adequate space for that, rather than having two really tight lanes.
Because the trucks still run across the scales, right?
The inbound trucks do.
Yeah.
Outbound, the garbage trucks don't have to go across the scales.
They know
So, and I want to make sure that you're aware that they're not proposing to operate both scales simultaneously. There'll still be one scale house attendant. She'll have a window where she'll sit at the front and be able to kind of switch back and forth, hopefully pretty quickly, to maximize operations.
Is that employee required to be a waymaster?
Yes.
So they will be going over the inbound scale and going out the outbound scale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For a minute there, it almost sounded like they were still going to just use one scale, but they're just going to use one waymaster.
One waymaster.
And I'll make that. Okay. That will be quicker. Right. And then do we see any kind of plans for the new scale house, or is that just all on waste connections?
So their timing's very tight. I'll get the plans for that to be able to take a look at, but they have to have it in place by August 1st. It takes 6 to 7 weeks to order it and get the new scale house on site, as well as the scale takes 6 to 7 weeks out. So they're, because of all of these changes, they're an extreme time crunch.
The only thing I was going to say is they need a better window. Mm-hmm. Because when you sit there with a big old checkbook and try to write a check and the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour,
or it's raining,
this much space, and
yeah,
boy. So
I will relay that comment. I'm sure Amanda will too. But that was in our discussions before, was to have a covering over, because there's always been an issue with when it's raining. There's no cover over, so people are trying to write a check and it's raining and there's no protection for them. So we've had people come inside, and when I feel that it rains harder there, and we all know that it's windier there. But when it rains, it always feels like it rains harder at the landfill than it does in town. And so we'll get pounded out there and it'll be windy. And you have poor landfill users trying to write a check. And not only are they already drenched from using the facility, but it makes a quite cranky customer.
Their trailer is 6 inches tall because the mud sticks to the tire.
Yeah.
Do we have to have a window facing the scales? Can we just have it on the...
It's going to be on the north side, the window now.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering, because then you could just kind of have like a little booth kind of thing, too.
That's exactly what it's going to be like.
You could just kind of walk into it and it's enclosed.
With a bigger table that's not full of little things that you've got to be on.
No, I'm talking about actual customers. You know, they have like little enclosures.
Come on, Bob. Get a smaller checkbook.
He does have quite a large checkbook holder.
I have one of those, too.
Use your debit card.
So, once I get the plans for the scale house, I'll provide them to you. Probably just as a memo. I'm much happier with this proposal.
Anything's gonna be an improvement over what it is.
Yes.
All right, well, if we're done with that, we'll move on to the outreach update.
Okay, so I told Rachel that I would present her item for her so she could stay working at the office. So I'll go ahead and run through this. But Rachel and Paul both have been doing an incredible job and doing quite a bit of outreach. They've been taking the 4R Kids exhibit bus, and I think we're going to bring the bus to one of the next upcoming board meetings so the board members can actually see the bus and walk through it. But they presented to 45 students as part of the Rancho Tehama Surf Program on April 20th. They presented to 27 second grade students of Antelope Elementary School on April 22nd. They brought the bus to the Children's Fair on April 25th, and they also participated in the Vina Jubilee with the bus on May 9th. And that was our first time going and doing an event down in the South County part of Vina, trying to reach those residents. We were also awarded the Public Outreach and Education Award from CalRecycle for the 4R Kids Exhibit Bus, so I'll pass that around. But I'm really proud of my staff. Well, the bus was my idea. Quite honestly, I didn't do much work on it.
Threw the idea on the table and said,
yeah. Basically. And so Paul did most of the design for the exhibits, as well as creating most of the exhibits on the bus. And Rachel has done an exceptional job doing the public education and outreach for the bus, coordinating with the school teachers. I should have brought, at the next meeting I'll bring, they've received so many thank you letters from the bus. The schools absolutely love it. It's been quite a hit among the schools. It's amazing to see. And so if you ever get the chance, I can let you know in advance of when they're going to go out and do a visit with the school, so you can yourself come visit and take a look at the kids going through it. But it's quite special.
And I got real good feedback from Miss Liz out at RTR about the...
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, it's like one of those things that gives you the heebie-jeebies, you know. It makes you, the hairs on your arms grow up when you're watching the kids learn so much and get so excited and have so much positive, like, learning experiences from it. It's been the perfect tool to get educators and students engaged in recycling and waste reduction and everything that, you know, is of importance to the agency. And then, so Rachel also, in coordination with Green Waste, developed the public information flyer on page 11 of your agenda packet. It's not printed in color for your agenda packet, but it does go out in color. It highlights the Tehama County Smart Business Alliance, free large venue event recycling, free on-call service for Green Waste recipients, the correct way to set out waste, mattress recycling, and explained what is recyclable in Tehama County.
Has this gone out already?
Yes. It goes out separately from your bills now, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's already gone out.
Oh. It's always been separate. Mm-hmm. Did you get one?
I should have gotten 4 or 5, but I don't remember seeing it.
I can make sure you get a copy.
Well, that's right, I've got one.
Okay.
Does it go to businesses?
Yes.
And I didn't realize we had an on-call service. Mm-hmm. They just call up and say, hey, I have garbage, come get it.
Yeah, it's a, you have to be up to date on your bill. And it's up to, this is the city one. So this would comply for you. But you can get one bulky item or up to 4 cubic yards of waste pickup once per year.
Nice.
On the mattress recycling, Christina, there's still a charge for mattresses, isn't there?
Yes, and there that will go away as soon as the MRC, the Mattress Recycling Council, implements their program. We'll make sure to get in contract with them, and then that fee will go away. But I've talked about it with Waste Connection, so the board will see that down the road, that there'll be a fee change for that.
Because when I was reading this, when I got the agenda here, looking through the mattress recycling, that to me, if I was Joe Public reading that, would appear that I can take my mattresses to the landfill and they take them for nothing. Mm-hmm. But then when I get there with my load of mattresses, I find out I have to pay.
You have to pay.
And then I call my county supervisor, who I hope at that time happens to be Supervisor Carlson, that gets all those phone calls. But
well, let me know if that happens. It does say the program will be funded, so hopefully they read it closely, but I get that. So let me know if you have any issues. If you haven't received any phone calls yet, you probably won't, because this already went out. But do let me know, and I'll send out a press release.
Until the person brings the mattresses in, that you'll get the phone call.
I get a copy of all complaints at the landfill, so I'd hear about that anyhow.
I don't think you'd get the call from the neighbors about the mattresses that are laying out in the middle of the road.
Yeah, that's where it helps to have a son that works for county probation as a correctional counselor, and he brings one of those alternative custody crews out every once in a while and patrols the roads.
Picks up mattresses.
Mattresses, TVs, sofas.
Refrigerators.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The works.
Yeah, what about dead animals? There's something wrapped up in a tarp on Surrey Village Road that...
I didn't put it there.
I don't know what it was. It was something big enough to wrap up in a tarp.
Oh. You call the sheriff's department, it might be a missing person.
I guess, huh? And as you can go by, you can see some of the fur, and it doesn't look like a deer, and it doesn't look like a cow, and it doesn't, you know.
Well, we do accept dead animals, but we charge for them, but we don't go and pick them up.
Yeah, don't blame you. Where do you put them?
Who does?
Yeah, you asked that before. In the county, nobody does. Yeah, in the city, side of the road, yeah. In the city, I don't know who in the city, I think it's the police department.
The CSO will come and pick up, like a dead cat on the street or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. On the free on-call service, it says, on there it says mattress and box room, so is that free? On the front page, the free on-call service, one of the following bulky items, and
yes,
it says under their mattress or box spring, mm-hmm, so they will pick up one mattress box spring per year.
Mm-hmm. Or box spring, so not...
one piece.
Yeah. So you can save a bit of money if you have a mattress or a box spring, but not both, because you'll get charged for one if you have both.
Going back on the bus, I mean, it's a great thing. Is it just for children, or is it something that we use to educate adults too?
It's tailored to children from second to sixth grades. Okay. And we take it to community events here and there. But it is tailored. I mean, adults can learn from it. They're just not going to get as excited about the exhibits as kids would. But we do bring it to, we brought it to the Children's Fair and the Vina Jubilee, and adults have gone through it. But that's not the focus of it.
One thing that maybe keep in mind, if possible, during the summer when there's a Wednesday night markets here in downtown, surf and different departments, they're going to have little kids area, mm-hmm, and to see, you know, what kind of children activities are available, that we can bring it there. And
yeah, we can look into it. Yeah, we attend the select farmers markets events. The one thing about bringing the buses, I have to have two staff present, whereas just doing outreach at the farmers market itself, I only have one staff present. So I have to look at staff budgeting, because then I have to comp their hours and later on, and we still have to get our day-to-day business done. So Rachel also gave presentations to the Tehama County Health Services Agency on April 16th and to the Public Guardian on April 29th. She also gave recycling bins to the Public Guardian. And so just so that you're all aware, as part of the mandatory commercial recycling law, any business, including government, that utilizes 4 or more cubic yards of waste per week must recycle by law. So we've been going around and making sure that our county and our city departments are in compliance so that we can be leaders. Because if we're expecting something of our businesses, we should be doing it ourselves. Rachel attended Good Morning Rumbluff on April 30th, promoting the Smart Business Alliance. And then she also coordinated large venue event recycling for Lucero Olive Oil Spring Crush Festival on May 2nd and the Vina Jubilee on May 9th. We also every month provide basically a blurb on the Lake California POA newsletter, the Rancho Tehama newsletter, as well as our e-news blast, the Tehama County 4Rs e-news blast. Each month we provide a little section about waste reduction, recycling, proper household hazardous waste recycling. And those newsletters go out free for us. So it's in coordination with the property owners associations as well as our own e-blast listserv. And we held a passenger tire collection event on April 11th. It was well attended. We received 5,532 tires. We do have enough funds to hold one more passenger tire collection event. So normally the April event would be our last event, but since we have adequate funds available, we will be holding one last event to hopefully use all of our funds up and not go over. So
when do you have to use that by?
June 30th. So that last event will be held June 13th. From 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and it'll be held at the Corning Park and Ride and at the landfill. Up to 40 passenger and light truck tires can be accepted per property and they must be off the rim. If they want to haul more than 9 tires at a time, they must receive an exemption from Tehama County Environmental Health. The state has put a lot more requirements on this grant program. And so before we could accept as many as the resident could haul as long as they only transported 9 at a time. Now they've maxed it out at 40 because of businesses taking advantage of the program. Electronic waste will be accepted at the Corning location during the tire event free of charge. And electronic waste, just so you know, is accepted every day at the landfill free of charge, so it'll be accepted at the landfill that day free of charge as well. The next hazardous waste collection event is on May 23rd and June 2nd at the landfill HHW facility. And the Corning Household Hazardous Waste Facility will be operated on June 13th from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. The full board will be considering an extension to our existing agreement with Stericycle, who bought out Eco Solutions at the June 15th full board meeting. And then we collected, I say we, Waste Tire Products collected 7,050 pounds of electronic waste at the electronic waste collection events held the last Saturday of every month at the Corning Park and Ride and at Tehama County Social Services. And I would say that's about average for what they...
That's the annual weight?
No, that's just for that, for April, just for April. That's incredible.
You said last Saturday of every month?
It's the last Saturday of every month. So...
Mm-hmm.
At Social Services and in Corning at the Park and Ride. But, Candy, you can drop off e-waste for free every day at the landfill. We've been doing these last Saturday events for years and years and years, and so the public's kind of gotten in the routine of using the Social Services location and the Corning location. We didn't used to accept e-waste for free, but we've continued on with the free Saturday events, even with it now being received because they're so popular, and especially for the Corning residents. They, even though it's free, they still don't want to drive all the way up to Red Bluff. So it's very convenient for them, and they really appreciate it.
Keeps a lot of that stuff off of Rawson Road.
like rural areas.
Yeah, and just
what happens to it after you get the left sound cord?
Pardon?
What happens to the electronic?
Waste Tire Products is our certified recycler of electronic waste, and they've been certified through the state. But to answer your question fully, the metal gets used in the United States. A lot of the other parts get shipped to China. Mm-hmm. And that's common. There's, and if you want to have a separate conversation about it, there's a lot of regulations that are going forward trying to make the conditions in other countries where they actually do a lot of the recycling of the e-waste better. There's EPEAT, and there's a whole bunch of different regulations that I could talk about, but it would take another 45 minutes of your time.
There used to be an outfit over in Chico that paid you for e-waste. I don't know if they're still there.
A what?
There was an outfit over in Chico that actually paid.
Paid for it? Wow.
Yeah, and there's one in Sacramento on Garden Highway.
Hmm.
I mean, it's nothing. They don't hardly give you anything for it.
Hmm.
But they would
yeah, I don't know about the Chico
location. A few
pennies
on the pound for...
For what you have, yeah.
One in Chico, you were limited to like 5 TVs a month that you
okay.
could bring in.
Hmm. Yeah, the bounty gets too high if people start burglarizing homes for it.
It's not very high. It's not
no,
really
I know.
Worth
I'm joking.
Over Chico.
Yeah.
There's a place in Reading that does pickups. It's called Gone for Free. Anything with a cord on it, they'll take.
Yeah, and some of those places I wouldn't recommend using. So because they don't follow state guidelines in storage and handling. And so that's why we coordinate with Waste Tire Products. As I visited their site, I know what they're doing. I feel comfortable. Some of these other organizations, there was another organization that worked in Red Bluff, actually, just a few miles from the landfill, that received a whole onslaught of violations from DTSC. So while those outfits are out there, that I won't give a recommendation from the agency for them.
For me, it's if we've got things in different areas, they'll come and they'll
mm-hmm.
take it down and they'll haul it away, and
mm-hmm.
so it's just peaceful.
It's easy, yeah.
A little bit easier, so.
Nice,
good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so if you ever have a question about one of those organizations, give me a call and I can definitely.
Yeah, I'm always looking for a place that takes appliances.
For free,
mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah, because I'm always on a water heaters or something.
Mm-hmm.
Really heavy.
Understood.
Right.
Well, we only have closed session left.
Okay. Well, if we're finished with this, we'll go on to closed session. Amanda, you got